Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It is 6:49. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. We continue our coverage of the ANC crisis, effectively the South African crisis. Joining us this morning is Zama Ntshona, who is a former SABC news anchor, member of the African Transformation Movement, the ATM. Zama, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm good, can't complain. Good morning to you and the listeners.
It's a very anxious time in South Africa. And we were just talking about the anxiety that all South Africans were feeling yesterday. Is he going to resign? Isn't he going to resign? What happens if he does? Who steps in to the position? When we look at the ANC, it's a very, very real concern. All of these emotions, all of these feelings bubbled up yesterday and made it a very anxious day. What is the ATM's view on the whole debacle?
Thank you so much. The African Transformation Movement says it is important that we have a head of state who is beyond reproach. It is important for us to have a head of state who is exemplary to society. We need a head of state who leads by example, not a head of state who violates the very constitution that anchors our existence. This is why the issue around the president being an individual who's accountable to society, it becomes a priority for the African Transformation Movement.
Number two,
we have 60 million South Africans. And in those 60 million South Africans, there is a very large number of South Africans who are capable to lead this country. And the issue of, can we then let go of this president and who else comes in? We have abundant in our structures, and we would need to make use of what is that. I wouldn't want us to get ourselves in a difficult position where we would want to compromise principles and values of this country because we are afraid that in the 60 million of us, there is nobody else worthy of the throne. There is somebody worthy of the throne. The president, when upon being found guilty, the president must vacate, or the president to make way so that we are able to have a thorough investigation must just take time, even if it's absence of time out as the president, so as to allow the processes to go forward. But what is important is that we must have a head of state that is beyond reproach.
So whereas I think that most people, and certainly I would agree with that beyond question, that there's no doubt that we need to hold our president to a high standard, the realities of the situation are the ones, is where it becomes a concern, where you've got a less than moral group within the ANC who have pushed for this to happen in order for them to step in and continue what we've seen before, which is awful, awful corruption at a grand scale. So the practical side of it is, I guess, what worries me, and I would imagine other South Africans, the what now? Because it isn't a situation that we go to the polls. We actually are going to be handing it back to the ANC, a corrupt organization who has proven itself to be corrupt, who is now going to decide our fate for the next couple of years. That's really our fear.
We need to be honest with ourselves as South Africans. We had an opportunity to make a decision on who is worthy to lead us.
Right.
And now, it's a party-based system. And in a party-based system, you are given by the system who leads you. We do not choose the president independent of the party. So
yes,
we are here today because of our choices. So being nervous today is really an aftermath of the choices that we have made. I think let us remind each other as South Africans that we chose the ANC to actually lead us. And this is a democratic dispensation. The majority that has chosen the ANC has actually chosen for all of us, because your inability to influence actually results in the result that we have. That's number one. But two, there was something that you raised on the issue of the less wealthy pushing for this outcome.
Mm-hmm.
It is not necessarily the case. Let's take the African Transformation Movement. The African Transformation Movement in 2020 says there are 15 performance-based reasons why the president is not worthy of the throne. And one of those would include state-owned enterprises that all need bailouts, that are all letting go of people because they are barely managing. They included, for the first time in the advent of since the advent of democracy, 30.3 million people were living in poverty. Debt to GDP was at 82%, and the list went on and on. We weighed the president, and he was found wanting. Now, fast forward to where we are today. In fact, as we are fast forwarding, go past 2014, when the president writes a letter in acknowledgement of the Executive Members Ethics Act that says, Section 96, subsection 2A, members of the cabinet, the president included, shall not have other paid work. He writes a letter and he says, I will establish a blind trust so as not to contravene the EMIR Act. When we asked him about a month ago, did you establish the trust? He says, no, I didn't, but I declared, which is a statement declaring is not something that is made provision, an exception in Section 96, subsection A, subsection 2A. Now, I'm raising this because even when he was closing the Limpopo conference, he said, I am a farmer, I sell animals, the money from my farm were proceeds from a game sale. Now, 2014, he had acknowledged that him being a farmer was in contravention of Section 96 of the EMIR Act. So this is not the doing of the less worthy faction. But the president, on his own, unprovoked, has actually admitted to his crimes. He wrote on his Twitter page that he contravened Section 34, subsection 1 of the PRECA Act when he said, I did not report to the police. I did not go to a DPCI office. I actually instructed Mr. Roder to actually do the work for me. Now, Mr. Roder, now, you would remember at the time that Phalaphala was not declared a national key point. There were no police that were deployed at that particular facility. It was a private facility. Now, what was a government official doing? They instructed by the president of the country to actually investigate a private matter. The president has actually did this on himself.
There's absolutely no doubt that he brought this upon himself, that he didn't deal with, and that's been very much a thread of his presidency, is not dealing with things, not confronting things, and when he should have. The concern is what happens now? Let's assume he steps aside. Is there anybody in the ANC that you would think would be better to take this position?
Right now, as according to their party stance, fortunately, I was still a journalist back in 2017 when they had the Nazareth conference.
Mm-hmm.
And the rhetoric at the time was that the deputy president shall automatically become the president in the event that the president is incapacitated to do his duties. If that still stands, it's their baby, but if that still stands, then it automatically means that Didi Mabuza becomes the president. And and as South Africans, when we made the choice, the ANC, we knew that the ANC was saying the rhetoric of number two, automatically becoming the president, was a reality. And we made the choice. So now we can't, in the middle of the game, want to change the rules. No. Right now, if the ANC would stick to its word, Didi Mabuza becomes the president.
Well, there's
and,
a worry.
The ANC does not start to be corrupt with Didi Mabuza if he is. The ANC has been corrupt for donkey years.
Absolutely.
And we keep on choosing them. So when we are now all of a sudden nervous about the ANC, we are not truthful to ourselves as South Africans, because after 28 years, we know that they have never been the right choice for this country.
Absolutely. And what do they say? Definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
So, most definitely.
Zamat Chana, who is the former SABC anchor, member of the South African Transformation Movement.